I'd like now to welcome Matt Nink. He is the Executive Director of the Global Youth Leadership Institute. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So you're just passing through Santa Fe, but you have this wonderful institute and you're doing some work here in New Mexico. Tell us about what the Global Youth Leadership Institute is about.
Yeah, thanks. We're a very innovative educational program. We run opportunities in the summer for middle school students and teachers and high school students and teachers. And our unique features are that we enroll teams from schools, 3 to 5 students and 1 to 2 teachers. And they come together from all over the country, really all over the world, to make up groups of around 30 to 35. And we have a sequence that hits on some very important pieces in our world today: the collaborative leadership process, religious pluralism, environmental sustainability, and multicultural identity. And we weave all those things together. And one of our beliefs is that none of these problems are really addressable without addressing the other problems at the same time. We put the students and the teachers into very engaging, hands-on, low-tech, high-involvement programs, and then require that they come out of these programs with what we call an LLP, a Leader Learning Plan, where they go back into their schools and communities and use the principles of social entrepreneurship to make differences in their schools or their communities after the programs are over.
What kind of locations do you actually have the programs in? In other words, where do they go and what do they do?
Well, our high school sequence begins on a tall ship. So we use the Amistad in Connecticut, and we use another ship in the Great Lakes called the Dennis Sullivan after 9th grade. After 10th grade, they come here to New Mexico to a mountain retreat center in northern New Mexico near San Cristobal called the Lama Foundation. And in the 3rd year, they do an international program. For the past few years, it's been in Costa Rica, but next year we'll be rolling out this program in both Costa Rica and in India. So what they do is they engage in a series of both activities and collaborative leadership in action. So our philosophy, our belief, is that students have very few models of collaborative leadership. If we look around the world, we see, you know, mostly sound bites and hero worship. We don't see real local folks working side by side over a long period of time to make things happen in these areas. So we try to give them those models in our programs. And so when they see those models and engage with those models and try those things out, then they're inspired to go back into the schools and communities and create that same atmosphere in their day-to-day lives as they experience in our summer programs.
I think there's something that people come to understand about leadership when they take leadership is that there is no leadership without a whole large community underneath you, so to speak, and it's not even ultimately an over and under thing. It's really about communities working together.
Absolutely. And so one of the first differences that we have to cross is the difference of age. So we bring students and teachers together, and the teachers range in age from, you know, their mid-20s to their mid-60s. And they are totally re-energized in their relationship with students. So they may be working with 3 to 5 students from their own school, but then also students from around the country in very different schools, you know, religious schools, all-girls schools, boarding schools, day schools, private schools, public schools, and so they're able to develop relationships over this 3-year sequence with students who they would never interact with on a day-to-day basis. And so there's no question that the idea that there's some sort of leadership model that we're all going to try to, you know, do a series of exercises or activities or some sort of one-size-fits-all is not the case. It's much more about rooting ourselves in our own traditions, in our own backgrounds, in our own ancestry, really understanding and developing empathy for others, and then taking those two pieces and moving forward with really doable, achievable goals.
Now, when you talk about the religious pluralism piece of it, what kind of, how should we say it, obstacles have to be overcome for people to really work well together and trust each other across religious barriers?
Well, our program is founded partly as a result of the events of 9/11. So this is a really important piece. So in November of 2001, a group of educators got together in Chicago. One of those educators now lives in Santa Fe. His name is John Brayman. And this was a unique situation, you know, where everybody else is really looking at military strategies and, you know, who are these terrorists that hate us? This is a group of educators that said, what can we do proactively for our youth in response to this event? So the religious pluralism has always been a huge piece of that. And so the obstacles are huge, because as you look at political conflicts around the world, you know, from the Middle East to Northern Ireland, you know, to Rwanda, you see religion and belief sort of at the core of it. and at the same time with plenty of examples, Seeds of Peace Camp that have been going on for a long time, the Ulster Project, we've seen people be able to make impact on youth when you pull them out of their day-to-day surroundings, their day-to-day milieu, and put them into a very unique transformative situation that the student who may be an Orthodox Jew from St. Louis working with a Christian Science student from Milwaukee or a Buddhist student from inner city of Chicago, they can have a whole new conversation. And so once you put them in that place and let them know that we care about religion, even though we are non-sectarian, you know, we're not coming from any religious bent, we put it on the table and let them work with it, amazing things can happen.
So we have just about a minute left, but what are you doing in New Mexico? Are you doing something with the Llama Foundation?
Yes. So the site that we use in New Mexico, the Llama Foundation, is actually a very historic, both religious and First Nations site. It's on the Kiowa Peace Trail, so many different indigenous groups would use this as a trading ground, so it's always been sort of a place of peace. It's very much off the grid with solar energy and straw bale construction, so they do a ton of work with environmental sustainability. And so why I'm here this week is to be interviewing some new speakers for our program at the Llama Foundation, as well as reaching out to schools in the area, both in Albuquerque and Santa Fe. Though we have been involved in New Mexico since 2004, currently we have no schools in the state that are participating in the program, so I'm here to change that.
Matt Nink is the Executive Director of the Global Youth Leadership Institute. They can be found on the web at gyli.org. Matt, thanks so much for being with us on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Good Morning Jazz with John Greenspan presents Artist of the Month, Stacey Kent, and a tribute to Duke Ellington. Broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, my name is Mary Charlotte. We'll see you tomorrow. Ciao.